All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 65. I am Jeff. You are Chris.
I am.
Actually, you're the listener, but you are Chris.
Yes.
This week we are going to go over our top 10 films for 2015. We're closing out January here, so it's about time we shared it on our show. But real quick, I just wanted to touch on, I went and saw, or I saw Bone Tomahawk, which you talked about and reviewed last week. I think I liked it a little more than you. And I think sort of a conversation that we've been having for a while now, I think I'm officially a fan of Westerns. I don't know. Like, what I love about, like, what I'm starting to love about Westerns is, like, the way the dialogue is almost, like, poetic. Almost like Shakespeare, kinda, you know? Just, like, the things they'll say, like he says, "Don't make any flirtatious remarks with my wife, or there will be a reckoning." Like, just like, and even that's not like the most impressive things that people say. Like, just the way people talk in them, I really enjoy.
Right.
I thought it was a really stellar cast. Like, I'm sure you told me the cast. I just some of it I just had forgot. Like, I forgot Richard Jenkins was one of them. And I didn't recognize Richard. It was Richard Jenkins until like pretty far into the movie. It's like that core group of the guys that go, to save the guy's wife.
Yeah.
I like that whole, like, even Matthew Fox, like, he actually might have been my favorite character out of all of
Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
them. But he like plays it really well. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. Trying to think what else I would say about. Oh, the violence was absolutely fucking brutal, dude. Holy shit.
That one kill,
Yes.
is insane.
Even like, 'cause I watched it once on my own. I watched it with my girlfriend, and when I was watching it with her, like the second time, even the second time, I was like, "Holy shit, dude!" Like, that's just an insane way to die. Like,
Yeah.
I would never want that to happen. But yeah, I don't know. It has, I think it had a slow pace to it, obviously, but I enjoyed like the ride. It's not always the destination. I enjoyed the ride to the destination too. So like, I just enjoyed being with those characters for, 2 hours. And then, I think that once they get where they're going, there's pretty good payoff. Yeah, I mean, it's, and like you said, it's mostly a Western, but the
Right.
horror elements I think are pretty strong. And like, I think you said last week that there's like a better,
It's a better cannibal movie than The Green Inferno.
I would agree with that. Like, these guys are scarier. The kills are scarier. There's no playing for laughs at that part. And I don't know. I feel like, yeah, it's a slow build up, but like I said, I enjoyed my time with the characters, and you get a nice payoff at the end. So I think I liked it a little more than you. I'd go a little bit higher. I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5.
All right. That's good. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was real good. I enjoyed it very much. I don't know if it would have made my top 10 list. Like, I keep thinking about the Bone Tomahawk and Mississippi Grind, and I could see them edging out maybe Steve Jobs, but I'm happy with my top 10 list, so I'm keeping it as it was when I made it near the beginning of this month. But I guess we'll start it off with you.
Right.
Top 10. What was your number 10 pick?
Call Me Lucky, the
Nice.
documentary. We talked about it actually on here a little while ago about Barry Crimmins and the shit that he went through.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like, I mean, we did talk about it, but it is kind of like this. Hey, it's about this comedian who's
Yeah.
kind of goes really dark, and then all of a sudden, like it goes really, really dark. Like, you're like, why didn't this guy take off and be a huge comedian? And then you kind of find out that he has a whole lot of other like psychological issues going on due to some crazy nasty shit that happened to him as a kid. So
We've talked about it before, but I think it's worth bringing up again and again. Why not? Because one is a really good movie, and two, like, very available to people. If you have Netflix, you can watch it. So,
Yeah, it's out there.
my number 10 was Steve Jobs.
Okay.
I think we talked about it on the show before. I don't know. Really good dialogue, good performances, and I appreciated more than anything that, unlike these usual biopics or biopics, that it doesn't try to tell like the whole life story of the guy. Instead, it's just it follows him through a few key moments in his lives and weaves a story through that, but doesn't attempt to tell the whole story of his life. You don't see him dying or any of that. I think it ends right around 1999 is where it ends, and it takes a few moments from his life and turns that into an actual movie with a story, and really great dialogue from Aaron Sorkin. So, like I said, I could see it getting knocked off my list, but I really liked the movie, and I look forward to seeing it again when it comes out on DVD. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving it a go. I'm a pretty big Danny Boyle fan. I just did not get out to see it. And
I don't know if you really feel his stamp on it that much, but I feel like, the movie was in good hands with him. It's just he doesn't get to do, it's very much like a play, so he does what he can with it visually,
Right,
but
like so you're not going to get his like stylized stamp that he normally delivers to his films, but
in a very minimal amount.
Right.
But directing is more than just visual flair, and he does a good job here. So,
All right.
what's your number? Or
Yeah, number nine. My number nine is kind of a movie that I didn't know what to expect going into it. It's a Marvel movie from last year, and I was kind of a little burnt out. I think I'm like nearing the end of my limit with these Marvel movies,
I'm there.
but Ant-Man kind of came out, and you know what? They can still do interesting things with this. It's not just the big superhero drive. Like this is kind of a heist movie, action comedy going on. Paul Rudd plays Ant-Man. Michael Douglas is in it. He's really good. It's something different, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy was, like where it doesn't necessarily fit into that Avengers line of films. It's something like outside of that. So it's I think it's Michael Peña. He is really funny in it. Like he plays a Paul Rudd's buddy, the criminal, because they're both thieves, and he has some excellent lines in it, like. It's actually really, really well written and well put together.
I actually did catch that a couple weeks ago, and I'm really sick of superhero movies. Like, I'm fucking done. But I thought it was perfectly enjoyable, and I think that you're right. It is a little different. It's just like a different vibe to it. Like you said, it's trying to do like genre films within the superhero genre, which I think is really smart of Marvel to try to do. They
Yeah.
did that with like Winter Soldier, and then with Ant-Man here, and yeah, that's the only way that you could. I mean, it's just too much, dude. But I
Right,
thought,
like, I mean, did you see the second Avengers movie? Like,
I did not like it.
yeah, it just came out. Like, eh. Like, I mean, it was okay, but
I fell
I don't ever want
asleep.
to see it again.
I for real fell asleep watching it, and woke up near the end feeling like I hadn't missed much. I was like, that was another one of those. I'm really like, and then with like so many ones that are coming out now this year, like I will go see Batman versus Superman, but dear God, am I not looking forward to that.
That's probably the one that I mean outside of I do want to see Suicide Squad, which is part of that DC stuff, but that also looks something different. But as far as like traditional superhero movies, like Batman vs Superman is probably the one that I'm more interested in this year. I enjoyed Man of Steel, so
Me too.
And I know that it kind of looks a little goofy, like, but I'm hoping that Ben Affleck can pull off Batman and pull that film together. We'll see.
I have complete faith in Ben Affleck. And like I said, I liked Man of Steel, but just everything I've seen about Batman versus Superman, like any clips I've seen, it just doesn't feel right to me. Something feels off.
I think that they've done a bad job marketing it. Like, they started off with the whole, like, Batman, Superman are antagonists to each other, and now they've revealed that that's, like, probably, like, the first third of the movie. It's
Which
like,
is
the hell
like,
is this thing?
dude, and I hate when there's like these superhero like versus things or whatever, and that's not really the case. Like, I
Right.
hate that. Dude, give me Batman versus Superman. Let's see them go at each other. Like,
Right, like, give us, like, I mean, give us what it's supposed to be based on. Give us the Dark Knight Rises, like, that dark Batman versus Superman movie that like we want. We want that tale. Give us that, like, instead of, oh, well, we can't really have Batman and Superman fighting each other because we're trying to launch our own cinematic universe, and there are big two tent poles, so.
yeah, and so what? It'll just be like there's a villain for like all of a sudden we have to stop fighting each other because there's a greater. I guarantee you that's got to be what it is. You know, like there's a.
Yeah, it looks like Darkseid is the big villain, and so we'll see.
Anyway, not to get too far off track. I enjoyed Ant-Man. I just, yeah, I think it was a good movie, but it just wasn't didn't do enough for me that it would came close. But it was fine.
What do you got at number 9?
One that I know you definitely like, Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like when I first reviewed it on the show. I do feel like it does kind of use the franchise as a crutch a little bit. Doesn't really go over any new ground, which is weird because like I don't have that problem with the new Star Wars. Like, they both have that same. I guess you could call it flaw. I don't know if you want to call it flaw. I feel like it feels like more of a flaw here, but still, this is an incredible movie. And Sylvester Stallone for me is like the number one reason to watch this, even though he's the supporting actor. Like he just gives a he gives, you know, his best Rocky performance and probably his best performance overall. And it's a really good kind of boxing movie. Kind of coming of age. Kind of reboot of Rocky, kind of true sequel Rocky, and you can see what Rocky's up to now. Yeah, it's a really good movie. Just for whatever reason, sits a little lower on my list.
All right. My number 8 is a kind of horror darling, It Follows. It was it's kind of like 70s styled horror, I guess. 70s, 80s style horror. Maybe not 80s. I think probably more 70s, but with like an 80s type soundtrack to it.
It has a 1980 vibe
Yeah,
to it.
it's not like you can't
Like
really
that.
place it in like the 80s. Like, when I think of like 80s horror, I think, Freddy, Jason, that type of, that's not what this is. It's more of a
End of the 70s.
like more kind of mind fuck horror.
Yeah.
This it starts out so well. There's this thing that follows people via having sex, so it's basically a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah.
And this girl contract well like she's basically tricked, like, into having sex with this dude, and he then shows her what it is and tells her how to get rid of it, and she goes about doing that with her friends, and it's just like really well put together, like really, really good. I didn't enjoy the ending quite as much. I thought it was a little goofy. Which why it slips down this far, but
How many times have you seen it?
twice.
I'm more okay with the ending after I've seen it. I've seen it 3 times, I think.
All right.
I get what you're saying. Like the ending is not perfect, but there's parts about the ending that I like. Like I really love there's like a last shot where the main character and her now boyfriend are kind of like walking down the street together.
Oh, that, no, I don't mind, like, that part's fine. I don't like any of the school stuff at the pool. Like,
Yeah,
I
but
thought all that stuff was weird.
I like the stuff that follows that.
Yes, yes.
The there's like a part where he's kind of going just looking at hookers. He's looking at hookers for some reason.
Yeah,
Prostitutes,
it's
ladies.
like they never actually explicitly state, but it's kind of like implied that, you know,
He's
he
doing
is,
everything he can to shake off.
yeah, he's passing it on to others, and and that maybe it is still following them.
Yeah, and it has like, yeah, like that final shot, it has a really, I just think it's like a kind of a perfect final shot. It looks like a shot from the original Halloween, like something where like Laurie Strode is like walking down the street or something like that. And I think there you do see someone in the background, like way behind them, and you're like,
Yeah, it's
oh
like,
man, like
is
I
it that
love it.
close?
Like I think that kind of redeems the climax portion of it in the pool, because that part is like, there's parts about it that are cool when you watch it a couple times, but like I don't know, yeah, it's kind of like too cheap and easy.
Well, yeah, it's like, and I mean, I guess it does fit with like what a bunch of kids would come up with to fight a monster, but
And it does fit with like the movies that it's kind of homaging or whatever,
yeah.
like like in an 80, like a movie that came out in 1980, that'd probably be like what they had to do,
Yeah, like
like
we gotta go to the school and fight it and
we got
try and get it in
string
the
together,
water and
yeah, we gotta like plug in all these electronics and like, yeah, come up with a trap, or yeah,
it
but
just it did like it didn't seem to fit like with everything else being so serious, but I mean I still really liked it. It ended up on this list, so
yeah, I can't, I didn't know it was so low on yours, I was surprised. Anyway, my number eight is Call Me Lucky. We've already discussed it a bunch, but one other cool thing about it, I think, is that like for the first 40 minutes or so, it's kind of just like a documentary about like the old comic scene in like early, like late 80s, early 90s Boston, which I think is like an interesting time for comedy, and a lot of like really great comedians come up from that, and there's a lot of great comedians in the film who are being interviewed about Barry Crimmins. Just
Yeah, they talk like really highly of them.
yeah, but you got like Patton Oswalt, David Cross, Marc Maron, like these are like the guys in the comedian industry, whatever you want to call it. So it's cool. Like that part was cool too.
My number seven is Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Nice.
I think it's on your list as well, so I
Yep.
won't talk too much about it, but it's a spy movie. Kind of like a different take on the spy movie though. More comedic, but very action packed and very explicit in its violence. And there is this one scene takes place in, I believe, in a church, and it is freaking fantastic. Like, it is just one long
Where he
action
just
scene.
takes on a bunch of guys, kind of like
Yeah,
Kill
like that
Bill
are
style.
going kind of crazy. And Samuel Jackson is fantastic as the villain in this movie. He is so good. But I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about it when it comes up on yours.
It's coming soon. But my number seven is The Hateful Eight. Not Tarantino's best movie, but I do think he's developing still as a filmmaker, which is interesting because he has stated over and over that he's not going to make a ton of movies. Like he's going to bow out at some point, and I hope this isn't it. I think that this is like a sign of him, of I think interesting things to come. I don't think he should do another Western, but who knows? Whatever. Anyways, back to The Hateful Eight itself. It's long, it's talky, but some of those things are, I think, what we like about Tarantino movies.
Yeah, you want talkie from him. Like, he's very good with his dialogue.
Like I remember back in the day, I think Ebert gave Pulp Fiction, it was like his best film of that decade of the 90s. And I remember him saying about it, he's like, dude, this movie would basically work as an audiobook because it's all about the dialogue, you know what I mean? So that's always been, I guess, Tarantino's trademark, and he's putting into more slightly more focused stories now, like with more of a little bit of a point. I just feel like it feels a little limper than Django Unchained, which like was a breath of fresh air, and I felt like Tarantino getting his groove back, and here it's just him doing something a little different, interesting, but just a little slower and not as satisfying, I guess. But I mean, it makes my list for sure.
Do you think that like coming off of the Death Proof and Inglourious Basterds, like that Django shined a little higher than like, cause, I mean, he hadn't really done anything
It's
since
possible.
Kill Bill 2, like which isn't it, which isn't great either. Like,
It's parts of it that I
yeah,
really
there
like
are some
Last
excellent
Power.
parts in Kill Bill 2, but like compared to one, like it's a very slow movie.
Yeah, like Kill Bill 1 is, in my opinion, like it's up there in his top three. Like it's
So
one of my
it had been like
favorite.
a decade since we got like a true like
Yeah.
fun Tarantino movie, with and that's what Django was. Like Django was like balls to the wall, unleashed. Like there was no talking about cream or
Yeah.
like that scene in Glorious Bastards. God damn it, hate that
Yeah,
scene. And there was nothing like in like it wasn't an hour and a half of Death Proof, which was just boring up until the final 20 minutes. Like,
I don't think that I think Django stands on its own. I think if you watch it now, it's still amazing. Like, dude, just that long ass dinner scene,
so good.
fucking love it. And just it has like just a forward momentum from the beginning, and you have Christoph Waltz just like chewing up scenes right from the beginning,
Yeah, I guess
going to
the
that
Hateful
bar.
Eight takes it takes a while to get where it needs to go. Like I like all the
Yeah.
character pieces, but it does take a long time to get. It's almost 2 hours before it kind of gets to
Yeah.
the twist.
I guess that's the only thing I'd really hold against it. Like, yeah, there's that, and I think Django is a little bit better. So I think if Hateful Eight comes out after Death Proof and Inglourious Basterds, that gets it. That would give Hateful Eight a boost. And then, but Django, I think is just. I think it's possibly his best movie.
All right.
So, yeah. Anyways, so moving along.
My number
What do you got?
six is Jurassic World.
Wow.
I didn't know what to expect going into this movie. It's kind of like a lot of stuff this year. Didn't really know what to expect, and came out like I really enjoyed Jurassic Park first one. I kind of enjoy Jurassic Park 3 as well, and it's been a long time since we got a dinosaur movie. And this was just fun. Like, it was just a fun movie to go see. I read all kind of like the criticisms against it, and I understand like where people are coming from when they talk about Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas, I think it was Bryce Dallas Howard, like the relationship and how it's sexist. And sure, I'm on board with it, but like it doesn't take away the fact that the movie is just fun. Like it's dinosaurs killing people and like and humans fighting back. Like it was just a fun monster movie.
The sexist stuff, to me when I was watching it, and I'd gone in not really, I didn't really look at any reviews or anything, but that stuff stuck out to me. Like the way he talked to her and the way like the film treats her as a character.
Right.
Like I noticed that, and maybe it's just because I don't know. I'm used to feminist criticism. I went to, I was an English major, blah, 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 blah. But like you said, the movie's entertaining. That part doesn't really stick out as like, it feels like a character dynamic from the early 90s. Like
Yeah, like
where it was
when
still
Jurassic
okay.
Park would have come out.
Yeah. But like, yeah, when it was still okay to like, oh, you're just a female. Like, but yeah, it's a fun movie. And the funny thing for me is I've never been a fan of the series. I've seen the first one when it came out, and that's all I've ever seen. I've never watched it again.
Oh, really?
I never saw two or three, but this one I was kind of interested. I like Chris Pratt. I'm like, I know like there hasn't been a new one in a while, and it seems like they really kind of wanted to. And plus, like, I just like the idea of it. Like, the park is open now. Like, I like the idea of
Yeah, like they never
having
actually
this park.
opened the park before, like.
So, like, I like that, and I thought they handled that. Like, that was really cool. And like, I like the I really love the part where like the kids are on that one ride where it's just like a sphere that they ride
Yeah.
around in. Like, that is awesome. And then, of course, the big showdown between the dinosaurs at the end. Awesome shit, dude.
Yeah.
So, it didn't make my list, but I really enjoyed it. Like, if I see it on HBO or something, I'll probably watch it again. So,
it's a movie that, like, yeah, that's on. I'm going to sit down and watch this because it's fun.
Yeah. And speaking of watching again on HBO is Kingsman: The Secret Service, which, you know, you already touched on a little bit, but yeah, I loved, like, this movie. I think is one of the most fun movies of last year. It was just crazy, like, from like the different training sequences that they go through, like that was really crazy. The part that you were talking about, like that, the action in general. Samuel Jackson as a villain. His evil plan, I thought, was hilarious and ridiculous.
Yes.
And when it starts to go off, like, the music they start playing, like, this, like, party music, and they're showing, like, the whole world in chaos as, like, just people just, like, fighting each other on a beach and stuff, and, like, you got this really fun party music playing. Like, it was just, I don't know, man. That movie was so goddamn fun. And the action in it, like, I felt like the choreography and the camera work is something that hasn't quite been done before. So yeah, I really, really love Kingsman. It's one of those ones where it's been on HBO a lot recently, and anytime I catch it on there, I'll turn it on and start watching it. So yeah, I was super surprised too, because I'm not like into spy movies, but
I'm a little worried about they're making a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried about that. Like, this kind of felt like it could have been kind of stand on its own. It doesn't need to be a series.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you go, like, because this one was so crazy. Like,
you've made your statement here. You did an awesome origin, you know, like, you did the spy movie and all the parts of the spy movie great, so like, why do I need another, you know?
Right.
If they find a way to do it, God bless them, but
I'll be interested in seeing it, but I'm really I'm really holding my breath on it. But speaking of spy movies, my number five is a spy movie as well. Just happened to star Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation. Is the fifth Mission Impossible movie, and I think it's better than Ghost Protocol. I know that that's not a popular opinion, but I enjoy it more than Ghost Protocol.
Was that the fourth one?
That was the fourth one, with the skyscraper.
I've never seen any of them, but I thought there was only three.
No. So, Mission Impossible, which was, I think, a Brian De Palma film. Then there was Mission Impossible 2, which was John Woo. J.J. Abrams did Mission Impossible 3. And Brad Bird did Mission Impossible 4, which was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, and then there's this one, Rogue Nation. I thought it was really, really good. I mean, Tom Cruise is, he plays Tom Cruise. Jeremy Renner's really good in it. Alec Baldwin's really good in it. As you know, they play off each other. Ving Rhames returns. He's like long time with the series. Simon Pegg returns as his kind of tech guy. It was the addition of, I believe it was Rebecca Ferguson. She plays the female spy in it, and she's fantastic throughout the whole movie. She kind of holds her own with Tom Cruise. So, and then of course there's just the crazy stunts and everything that, you know, Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible movies have been known for. Like, he actually hung off the side of a fucking plane.
Like, he insists on putting himself in these crazy stunts. Like,
right.
That's what I know about those movies.
Yeah. Like, he does all that stuff himself, so.
Could I just watch that one and be fine? Like,
yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, they do all link together, because, I mean, he's playing the same character, and Ving Rhames has been with it since the beginning, but you don't need to have seen the other ones. He's a spy. Bad shit happens sometimes, and
yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. You gotta spy it up. Yeah,
right. So it's like always, you know, wacky spy hijinks and stuff. So,
my number five is Dope. It's a movie about these kids that are growing up kind of in the ghetto, so to speak, or whatever. In Los Angeles. I don't know Los Angeles, so I don't know if it's South Central, whatever. But it's these kids, it's a group of friends that are growing up in, a bad neighborhood, and they're just trying to get out of it. Like, they're good kids. They're basically like video game geeks, kind of. So, like, right away, I really appreciated that. Just like how, like, they're kind of into the things that I'm into, except they're like in the manga and stuff like that too. But they, trying to hook up with girls and this and that, they end up at a party that, they're kind of out of their element, and then they end up with a bag full of drugs, and they have to figure out what to do with it. And it's a really fun, like, kinetic, fast-paced, like, just really energetic and stylish and fun movie, that kind of like veers between, action and, coming of age tale, comedy, and kind of making a statement too about, like, you could make movies, like, or just you could make movies about people who are, that don't have to be about stereotypes or whatever. And they kind of, like, the movie does have a statement about that near the end, and I thought it was really cool, dude. Like, I really, really, really enjoyed Dope, and I really want to see it again. So
Yeah, it's on my list after you told me about it. I think I'd really enjoy it, so.
I think, yeah, I don't know the mileage other people will get out of it, because I only know one other person who's seen it besides my girlfriend. My girlfriend actually liked it, and she doesn't like much. The only person I know that we know that I know and we both know have seen it is Ryan De La Rosa, and he said he really liked it too. But yeah, it's good. It's really good, dude. I think you will enjoy it, but I can't say 100%.
I'm looking forward to it, so. My number four is a sci-fi film Ex Machina. It's a movie about a AI that is kind of assimilating into, like, they're trying to find out what the flaws are to see if it can pass as human. And a lot of the movie is dealing with that, like, by the back and forth and trying to
This guy testing
yeah,
this
testing out
robot.
the robot and trying to figure out if it can pass as human and what it means to be human. The last 15 minutes take a dark, bloody turn.
Yeah.
But I think the acting in it is great. There's only really like
It's like three people, yeah.
three people. It's a this guy Caleb, and who's testing everything, and his boss, who's like this kind of eccentric multimillionaire, played by Oscar Isaac, who,
Incognito, dude. I had no idea that was him.
yeah, well, I mean, I didn't really know who he was going into it, but like, oh, that's the guy who was in Star Wars, really? Like,
Yeah,
no
and
way, he was not in Ex Machina. Like, yeah, no, he totally
like,
was.
he looks like a different ethnicity in it. Like, it's
Yeah.
weird. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's just the hair. Maybe, like, if he grows the beard, it makes him
I
look different.
think, yeah,
But,
when
like,
he has that beard on, he looks like he's a little bit darker, and
yeah.
his face is a little bit out there, like, just really well done. But the person who plays the AI, Alicia Vikander, is
Yes.
fantastic. The special effects are fantastic. And it takes a dark, twisted turn towards the end, and it's so good.
And the other thing on top of it is the whole movie is super intellectual. Like, it really makes you want to think about, AIs and what does it mean to be human and this and that. And I know people, so I know one of my coworkers, I recommended it to him and he said he turned it off. And I was like, dude, you should have stuck with it. 'Cause, like, if you're not into that part, that's fine. But I like you said, near the end, it really pays off in great ways. And
Right,
then,
it's like all these questions, and then, there's something snaps and it just takes off in a
yeah.
different direction. And it's like, and it all ties into everything that had been discussed
It ties
throughout the
into the
whole time.
questions,
Yeah,
Yeah.
like it's really smartly done.
Yeah. Great movie. My number four is Inside Out, another great Pixar movie. I think it's probably my favorite Pixar movie for the longest time. Wall-E was my favorite, but just this one, I really liked how it was kind of like a cartoon representation of, like, psychology or something. Like,
Yeah.
Like it was about like things that you would like could possibly learn about and shit like psychology and stuff like that. And it had like kind of a very kind of like adult mature theme to it for kids, like for a family movie about depression and about, you know, and about like emotional maturity. I think that's what the movie's kind of about, is about how, you know, not all memories have to be happy memories. Maybe a really happy memory could have a sadness to it too.
Right, or maybe like the sad memory turns into a happy memory, or maybe like that anger that you had also is because you're afraid of something.
And but it does it in a really fun Pixar way, you know. It's not beating you over the head with like concepts here. It just throws them at you in a really fun way. And I don't know, like I really really love Inside Out. Seen it a couple times now, and I'll probably pick it up
Yeah,
someday.
I really liked it. It's my number three, so just
Yeah.
but yeah, I came out of that going like that was fantastic. When it all finally comes together at the end too, like it really works.
Yeah.
And it's really sad, like, because it does work. Like that all that build up, all that comedy with the emotions in Riley's head pays off at the end between her and her parents.
Yeah.
There's this really emotional scene at the end that's like, yeah, that really works. And fuck you, Pixar, because you're just really, really good at doing shit like that. Like,
Not to super spoil it, but wasn't it kind of like their parents, like, you know, hey, we get sad too, and it's okay, right? Like,
yeah,
yeah.
like, and kind of like going over everything, like, yes, like, I've been stressed out because of work and I've been ignoring you and that's my bad. Like I shouldn't, as a parent, I shouldn't do that. And we're sorry. So,
So many
but
cool things in it,
yeah.
though. Just like the whole imaginary friend thing, like that's like a real thing that kids have, and it's something like, you know, a lot of younger kids have an imaginary friend, but they go away someday. And like the character in that, Bing, was it Bing Bong?
Bing Bong, yeah.
Yeah, like this clown is her imaginary friend. And like there's parts with that too that, like, you know, I didn't cry at it. I don't think I cried at any part in the movie, but you know, I probably came close. They've made me cry before, but not quite there. But I don't know. Just everything about it, like it's, in my opinion, it's probably their best movie, which is saying a lot for Pixar, because Pixar is amazing. And kind of circling around again, my number three was Ex Machina, which I kind of said what I wanted to say about it. Like, so I don't really have
All right.
anything, you know.
Well, my number two then was Creed. Lower down on your list, higher up on mine. I don't know if it's the, you know, the Philly connection here, or not. Like
No, I could see it being up there for anybody, dude. Like it's, I don't know why it's not higher for me. I just felt like, I think in a weaker year, it's like a movie of the year for me, honestly. Like,
I mean, this was a really, really good year for movies.
yeah.
I really like the kind of relationship that Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan have throughout the film. Like, it makes sense. It doesn't feel fake at any point. And I mean, you said it, like Sylvester Stallone, probably his best performance as
Yeah.
Rocky, maybe the best performance of his career. Just
Yeah.
really, really well done.
He's winning that Oscar, dude. Guarantee you.
I think he should.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into the whole like who deserves to get nominated or whatnot, but like I think watching this, like I like Michael B. Jordan's performance, but if anybody deserved to be nominated out of that film, I think it was Sylvester Stallone. Like
Yeah.
he was the best actor in that movie.
I think there's a room for a nomination for Michael B. Jordan. But honestly, I don't know if I feel like he was good in it. He was very
Right.
good. But I don't know if it was like it's like the same thing where like I see Kate Winslet get nominated for Steve Jobs. I'm like, she was good in it, but okay, you have to be good in it. That's like your job. Like you need to
Right.
be extremely noteworthy.
Like you like Sylvester Stallone's performance is actually like astounding.
Yeah, the way there's a scene where he talks about how he has no one left and stuff, and you're like, and it's like, That's a moment that's been built up over a long time, and he pulls it off no problem. Like, he does a great job with it, and I don't know. Yeah, it's really good. My number two is It Follows. It used to be, like, as I was going throughout the year, it was used to sit below like Ex Machina and Inside Out for me. I think I had Inside Out at number one for the longest time. But things got reshuffled because when I started to make my list after seeing everything at the end of the year, I just started to think about, like, It Follows for me is going to become a new staple where every October I'm going to watch It Follows. And that is, like, for me, like, for my top three or so, like, that's kind of the criteria is it's got to be a movie that is going to fucking last. And It Follows is going to last. It's going to be like this landmark, I think, in the horror genre. Maybe you think I'm blowing it up, I don't know, but I just feel like there hasn't been anything like that feels this, I don't know, just inspired and good and fun in the horror genre in a while. Like, you've had, like, there was the Babadook that was not long before that. That's another one. I don't think I should even bring that up to because it's I feel like I'm kind of putting it down to say, but like you've had really solid horror, but like It Follows just kind of sticks out to me as like here's an example of horror being done great, and still really fun and not too super disturbing like the Babadook. So yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those fun. It's gonna become one of those fun Halloween staples for me. So that's why I got so high on mine. And as we already discussed, it's a
Yeah,
great role.
it's very good.
Number one, Chris.
Mine's Star Wars. I don't know
Yeah.
about yours.
Mine is Star Wars as well. So we might as well just open it up.
The Force Awakens. I mean, I went in with high expectations, and they nailed it out of the park.
Yeah.
Sure, there are definitely ties, like, and similarities to the original Star Wars movie, but I think this continues the story in a fantastic way. They return to form with it too. Like, it's back to being kind of like the fun fantasy sci-fi film. Doesn't feel goofy anymore
Yeah.
like that the prequels did. And it hits some good notes and continues the series in the right way, I feel so.
Yeah, dude, it was just a mixture of nostalgia and just being happy that they got it right. And I don't care what the hell anyone says about it, it's basically a New Hope. All right, maybe it is basically a New Hope, but guess what? It's like a modernized version of that I think is better.
Right, well, I think also like the big complaint with that is like where people are like, oh, it's just a copy of this. Like, I mean,
And
we.
it's really not though. Like, it's not beat for beat. Like,
No,
yeah, you
like.
pick out things. It has overarching, like, yes, like,
Right,
there's
well,
like.
it follows Lucas's inspiration for the original, which is like the hero's quest, right? Like that's that whole big thing. Like, I don't. I mean, I guess if you want to just go, oh, it's this, like, if you want to tie it to that, sure, it's there. But
Yeah.
there's more to it than that, and it's,
There's,
at
yeah.
its core, the Star Wars story is a simple one, so
Yeah,
it's not
that's the
this
thing.
complex thing.
I think when it first came out, someone was bitching him, it's just a New Hope. No one has any original ideas. And I think I replied to someone like saying, a New Hope wasn't like an original, like, it's an archetypal story of good versus evil,
Right.
Like, it's a story that's been told since the beginning of fucking storytelling. Like, so to say, like, a New Hope, like, the thing that was new about a New Hope is the medium that it was in and the special effects and the world that, like, the original world that he built. But the story itself was nothing fucking new. You know what I mean?
Right, like the base story, the plot line isn't anything original.
So you can't just sit there and go, well, this new one's an original and New Hope was like, it's just copying New Hope. It's like, well, New Hope was copying a billion other stories. So, and it was based off of, like, a lot of things that, like, Lucas threw in when he was making the original Star Wars was, it's like stuff that he saw growing up, like, serials that he used to watch and stuff. Like, Like same thing with Indiana Jones. It was like stuff that he used to love, you know,
like pulp serials.
Yes.
Like
Yeah.
this was more like the sci-fi serials. He
Yeah.
was a huge fan of like Kurosawa films, like so he threw some of that in with the Jedi and the
Dude, even
lightsabers, like.
there's strange references in the original Star Wars, you know, like that metal scene at the end. Do you know like where he pulled that from?
The throne room? No, like.
Like, where they're giving them the medals for blowing up the Death Star or
Right,
whatever.
right.
Like the way
No.
that scene shot and everything. I forgot the name of the filmmaker, but she was a Nazi propaganda filmmaker, and so shot for shot is it like that ending is from like a Nazi propaganda film. It's crazy, dude. I swear to God, like look it up, dude. Anyways, getting slightly back more on track though. Like to say, oh yeah, they have to, you know, there's a weakness and they have to blow this up, blah blah blah, and that's the same as A New Hope. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, it's the same, but that's all that was going on in New Hope. In the new one, that's just a backdrop for way more interesting things that are going on. Stuff with Han and Kylo Ren and stuff with you know, our new characters who are also fighting Kylo Ren. You know what I mean? Like all that Death Star, like whatever the hell the thing that they're gonna blow up in this
The
one, it's
Star Killer base.
yeah, it's kind of happening in the background. You know what I mean? Like it, and it intercuts between that and stuff going on with Kylo Ren, which so like I don't know. I find that to be like kind of a weak argument for hating the movie. And just zooming out here, like in general, I just think it's fucking fantastic, really fun, great time at the movies. It's the reason that like you should still go to the movie theater to see a movie.
Yeah, I think it was we talked about this on an episode that disappeared, but it's an event film like we haven't had in a long time.
It's the biggest event film I can remember in my life. Like there was Phantom Menace. I'm trying to remember something like that was that like I remember seeing Scream 2 and that being like a crazy packed theater, but that like is I don't know. That's kind of an anomaly compared to like
What this was, yeah.
yeah. So, yeah.
It's something crazy and special, and like, I'm glad that like I got to see it when I did, and I'm just looking forward to more of it.
And like I said with It Follows, like this is a movie that's gonna stick around. Obviously it's gonna stick around. It's a Star Wars movie. Like Phantom Menace is gonna stick around, but you know, it's one that you're gonna cherish for years to come. It's gonna be one that like you'll be showing your kids and your kids will be showing their kids, like, and it will stand out, in my opinion, as maybe if not the best for everybody, one of the better movies in the series.
Yeah, for sure.
So
Well, that's our top tens.
yeah.
I'm gonna try and see something this week.
Oh yeah.
I am gonna try and watch something. I don't know what yet, but
I will have seen a movie called Goodnight Mommy.
okay.
Or yeah, is that what it's called? Do you
That
know what I'm talking about?
yeah, the horror film,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Sounds really interesting. I will have seen I have seen Minions, but I was kind of half paying attention. Spoilers, I don't like it.
It's probably all you needed to do with that movie.
It's just the thing for me about Minions, I'll say it real quick here, is I don't know if it's a bad movie as much as I don't watch a lot of children movies or whatever, like outside of Pixar, I don't watch a ton. I don't have kids. So, like maybe it's perfectly fine and dandy compared to some of the shit that gets thrown out there, like Norm of the North. Or what is that, the one, that polar bear one that just came out?
I don't know. I did not see that one, so.
Look up, I think it's called Norm of the North. Try looking it up, and it's like, dude, I think it's like a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I don't know if
This is probably
it's,
better than that. Like.
yeah, it's probably better than that, but I did not enjoy it. The problem for me with Minions is it never really attempts to make any jokes. It kind of thinks it could just skate by with like a fun vibe. And I don't know if that's maybe like you know, a lot of children's movies are like that, or like it's just a bad example. But anyways, I will have at least seen Goodnight Mommy, and God, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel of stuff from last year that I could see right now. So I don't know yet. I mean, there's stuff coming up for me, but that are not available through Netflix yet. Like Straight Outta Compton's coming up, The Martian, I Smile Back is another one I wanted to see, but none of that is within the next week.
I just added that to my watch list on Letterboxd.
What's that?
I Smile Back.
Yeah, dude, it looks, it's kind of like, I like that. I like stuff, stories about drug addicts, and I like, indie films, but also just to see Sarah Silverman. The clips I've seen of her, I'm like really impressed by what she could do. So
Yeah.
I like seeing a comedic person taking on dramatic roles because they like usually show up people who usually do dramatic roles. So.
I may go see Laser Team, which is the if you follow Rooster Teeth, the guys behind Red versus Blue. They made a movie,
Oh, really?
and it's out, I guess, as of tomorrow. So,
Cool.
well, as of when you'll hear this, it's already been out for the weekend. But yeah, I may try and go see that. It is playing at a theater near me, so we'll see. I hear it. Like it has some mixed reviews. I think it's holding a 61 on Rotten Tomatoes right now, so that's technically fresh.
Yeah, you could fall one way or the other on
Yeah,
it, actually.
it's like a goofy, low budget sci-fi comedy type movie, so we'll see. I might go see that.
And I am still on a never-ending quest to try to see on Anomalisa. And if I there's I'm working on it, guys. I'm working on it. So if one way or another, I hope to see it before it's, like
Out
out.
of theaters.
It's about an hour drive, so but that's how much I want to see that movie. So
All right.
hopefully we'll see.
All right, well, we'll be back next week then.
Sweet.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.